Welcome to the CEO Bros Podcast, After Hours, with Brian Baldiff, co-founded, grew, and sold VHT Studios. Brad Baldiff, CEO and co-founder of By Your Side Autism Therapy Services. Matt Croak, the consummate entertainer, jack of all trades, and serves as our host.
In the same
time.
No.
Wow, that would make you guys like within 6-7 years.
I'm right here. I'm right here.
I'm sitting right here. Matt
here.
And I went to high school together.
I don't think
a lot of people know that, which is kind of exciting.
And there was a class where we were all in the same class.
With a roll call.
And it was the first day. It was junior, senior year. And the teacher's like, Brad Baldiff. And then just saying, like, crap. Matt Croak. Oh, no. Mark Lancaster. Are you kidding me? My God, you're all here? Anytime.
It was just, yes, we're all here.
So who's who? So speaking of, actually, there's no speaking of. I'm just saying.
It's just welcome to
the good friends at Solo Cup.
Hey, I want to throw a curveball question at you before we get into the topic. So we just had August come and go. I've always wondered about this, and this could be a stupid question. I'm not in finance. Three pay periods in a month, right? August had three pay periods in 1 month. As a CEO entrepreneur, is that something they have to know about, or is some people handle it one way or it's handled another way? What happens on three pay periods a month?
I'm going to let Brad answer this one.
No, it's actually depending on what the driver of the question is. I mean, typically it's three pay periods in a month is you're thinking about cash flow.
Yeah.
And you're spending three pay periods. And if you have 520, 550 employees that are going out three pay periods, yeah, you got to, it's a serious cash flow thing you're concerned about.
Because the revenue is the same. You don't get.
Right, so over the course of 12 months, it doesn't matter, but you're, okay, that gets to make sense, but cash flow.
Right, I mean, from an accounting treatment standpoint, there's called what's called gap accounting, right? And that they spread those payments out. So on the books, it looks like it's, you know, two for every month, or it's treated with a spread out way of handling it. But from a cash flow perspective for a new business that's going, especially it's going through one where you have either seasonal flows of rental, where perhaps you're in a business where you depend on, you know, seasonality, where certain parts of the year are stronger than others in revenue, or revenue stronger in certain parts of the year than other. Three pay periods in the course of a month could be brutal.
Brutal.
Right? Because you're paying out a lot of cash and revenues could be down at that point in time because of seasonal.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it could be really rough.
Do you think new entrepreneurs maybe don't, could there be a misstep?
I know you don't, because we're going to do a whole episode on, we've got it on the list, cash is king. Mm-hmm. I've seen many successful businesses go out of business because you run out of cash. You're too far ahead on inventory and are like, man, stuff is selling like crazy. We got to get inventory in here. And then you run out of cash, you're dead. Your business is over. It doesn't matter how good the business is, how much people like it. When you're out of cash, game's over. It's like running out of gas in your car.
Yeah, you know something about that in the standpoint of DVD Playground.
Yeah.
Years ago, remember that? Yep. Matt used to sell DVDs a long time ago, 20 years ago. Yeah. And you had a big time of the year.
Yep.
When it would come up into the holiday season, and he would need to get his hands on a lot of product, but it was sold, and you basically have to fund that product up front. And that's a lot of times what you actually see on Shark Tank. You see guys saying, well, I have orders.
I need money.
And they're like, well, hell, if you already got the orders, I'll fund that.
And that was before Amazon was Amazon. There was no Prime shipping at that point. So those people relied on, even though it was priority mail, they wanted it by the holidays, even though there was no, you know, Amazon Prime, people, the expectation, believe it or not, was still to get your stuff on time.
But that would be an example of like, a seasonal aspect of a business in which maybe you're selling a lot of product around the holidays, or you're selling product around a certain date time frame, and you have to put money out for product to have it on hand, but you don't have that cash, right? Now think about a standpoint where you need to have that cash ready to buy the product, and at the same time you're paying three pay periods in a given month.
Yeah.
That's a cash crunch, right? That's when you hear like we got cash flow issues. That's a cash flow crunch. And how do you navigate that? And a lot of times we talk about, you know, being able to get bridge loans and things because they're temporary, short term. You need short term solutions. Maybe you borrow from a friend. A friend will lend you with interest, whatever. But yeah, so it's a
or a brother.
Yes.
But we used to get killed. I mean, VHC Studios was very seasonal. So, you know, real estate in spring, April, May, June, just booming. And then after Thanksgiving, real estate shuts doors and goes away for 6 weeks. So we never had any cash in January. And January is a long month. You know, February is a short billing month. We wanted to do annual bonuses, but we couldn't pay them in January, February. We didn't have the cash. We wound up paying our bonuses in like May or June.
Kind of dog treats.
They're killing it, right?
Dog treats. Hey guys,
but, you know, as you had asked about entrepreneurs going into it, like the most disappointing thing to me looking back now was how much I started to hate the holidays because you're paying out and you're not bringing anything in. And it's seasonal for us. I'll give you an example. In May, we would need 30 people in customer service. In December, we would only need 10.
Yeah, so what do you do? What do you do with those 20 people?
We didn't fire 20 people for a month or two. We started going to temp labor in May and trying to figure out the balance and things like that. It was
so let's stick with this concept because I love the deep dive because we talk a lot of things about in general, but there are a lot of small details that entrepreneurs need to know. And I still go back to, you know, our first episodes of I have an idea, I'm going to start a business, you have to be all in. But there still seems a vast desert of I have an idea to starting a business and little things that entrepreneurs aren't thinking of. Let's call them misconceptions. So what would be some misconceptions for this episode that entrepreneurs may not know is a pitfall as they go to idea to start?
Yeah, I mean, I would think it's they're not fully aware of like people
prepared
to or they have a misunderstanding of that. Okay, I'm just going to start a business. Okay, well, do you have money stashed away or what? Like, how are you going to live? How are you going to pay your bills? Okay. How are you going to live a normal life while you're starting a business where no revenue is coming in? Because you inherently have some expenses of something, right? Maybe you have a storefront, maybe you have an online programming fee, maybe you're paying an employee, maybe you have to buy product. So that costs money.
And it starts day one
and there's no revenue coming in. So I think first off, there's this misconception. And it's really prevalent in social media today, you know, where you see all these people like, I'm making all this money. I'm doing this. Like, it's such BS. I'm sure there's people out there that are making money quickly. There's some get rich things for sure. But most of the time, most of that stuff is a lot of BS and it's advertising to get you to do something so that they make more money off of what they're doing.
I make money because I'm convincing you to buy my get rich quick scheme.
And I don't think we say this enough.
I have a book.
I don't think we say this enough. You both are passionate about this is not get rich quick. You both are do due diligence, do your homework, work hard. None of your ideas are here's the fast track.
Because I wouldn't share those. I would just keep doing it myself.
Which is why
if I had a get rich quick.
No, right. No,
I mean, I gave away Eddie's spaghetti, but that's it. That's the only one I'm
and Afghans. Away. We know there's a need for
Eddie's spaghetti.
The other ones are all staying in my drawer.
Exactly. I think that one misconception is that, okay, when I started my business, I hate to say this, but you have to in some shape or form, you have to moonlight a little bit on your existing job. What does that mean? Well, it means that if I'm working my daily job, 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, not necessarily moonlighting, but you've got to find other time to do your business. So you've got to be working at night, 5 to midnight. You got to be working on weekends. You got to have somebody that's working on the business during the operating hours when you can't be. It's got to grow. The business has got to grow. And I think part of it is that people kind of forget the notion that you're going to have out-of-pocket money. I remember talking to somebody, someone was asking, I go, okay, so you're going to, you know, pay your money to get your legal, you know, to get your corporation set up. So you need money for your LLC. You need money to speak to an attorney about your operating room. So, wait a minute. I don't have that money. I'm like, wait, you need some money to get started. And I think it's a misconception of the fact that, okay, well, while you need money to get your revenue going, and by the way, that's not guaranteed that your business is even going to make it, that the revenue is going to come in to offset the expenses you have, but you better have what I call a stash. You better have money set aside and you better have a way to be earning a living and paying your way while you're figuring that out. And I think that's a misconception. I don't think people realize how much of that goes on. But I noticed Brian's going to his pocket for some notes.
Well, no, I agree with you. And I the way I would describe it is everybody focuses on their product or their idea or their store, and they may have a great business plan. Here's how the business is going to make money. They may even have money set aside for the business. But how much are you paying yourself? Because to Brad's point, I've seen a lot of businesses fail. The business is successful, but it's not generated enough cash for the founder to pay their electricity bill or their mortgage or their gas. So, you know, if you have a family, this is a family discussion. A lot of cases, you know, well, my spouse is going to work and pay the family bills and I'm going to do this. And we're going to give it 6 months or we're going to give it 12 months or whatever. But you've got to think through, how do I take cash out of this? How much do I take out of it? And what are the personal needs as a, in addition to the business needs? Because, I mean, you could say, oh, my spouse is going to work and pay the, what if they get laid off? Then your business shuts down because you've personally run out of money. The business is doing fine, growing, getting new customers, paying its bills. But now all of a sudden me, you know, the founder, or the person who's running the restaurant or the shop or the whatever, you know, I got to get another job or I got to find another source of income. Or take money from the
business.
Or take money from the business, which is worse because the last thing you want to do is go to an investor because you're short on the personal side. They will sniff that out like that. Like, hey, I'm not putting money into the business so you can pay your electricity bill.
Like, I think I saw that on Shark Tank and it surprised me a little bit where they said what one of the things you're going to use it for. And he's like, well, you know, I got to pay myself. And they all went, whoa, we're out. Like, we're not, we're not, you know, well, you guys said, well, I got to, and then it became made for good TV. It became a back and forth. Well, you have to expect me to pay my bills and eat. And they're all like, I went and they're all giving me, like, I ate ramen for a year. Like, sorry, my friend.
No, that's exactly it. And Brian and I think had a debate one night saying, well, how long did both of us go unpaid by our respective companies that became, you know, multi-million-dollar operations as in how they had to start? They had to start from the position of, I didn't pay myself for 3 years in my current job. And then when I did start, it was about 2.5 years. And then after I started paying myself, it wasn't like, okay, I'm going to be paying myself a CEO salary. It was a salary that would barely get by, until I could pay myself more. And until I got to a point where the company is driving enough revenue, driving enough profitability where it's like, okay, I can start to pay myself a normal wage for someone that's leading a company. And it's still not enough, right? It wasn't enough for the longest time. So I think that's one of the big misconceptions that are out there is that you better have that thought out. That's got to be a thoughtful part of it, because as you read about all the time, 90-95% of, I don't think it's that high anymore, but 70-75% of companies fail within the first 12 months. No. And it's probably because that wasn't thought through. You know, it's like, I don't have any money. I can't pay this anymore.
Right. That reminds me, I want to give a shout out to a new friend, Scott Greenwald. Met recently, entrepreneur, came out of MIT, has developed a new virtual reality app for real estate, like pre-construction real estate. You take tours of developments
through Abu Dhabi
and Dubai through a VR app. It's amazing. Just closed his first seed round for $3 million.
Nice.
So, Scott, congrats.
Congrats, Scott. Well done. Well played.
Are we doing personal shout outs? I'd like to shout out my neighbor.
Go right ahead.
I was at a block party. We had a great time. He gave me a beer. So, you know.
Brad, John,
Justin, thanks for the beer.
No, I do.
Sorry. So we have money as a misconception.
I don't have any shout outs. I don't want to take up the viewer's time.
I really did not get a beer from my neighbor. I made that up. money is a misconception. So that's one. Any other misconceptions we can think of? If that's the right word, but you know where I'm going at.
Tying it to the money, time. How much time you have?
Okay.
I mean, you don't have
never have enough time.
You don't have an unlimited amount of time. That's for sure.
I mean, to get it going,
right? To get things going. I mean, you know, expenses are incurring. You know, whatever that may be. You know, I remember we started by your side. We had a lease. We had to start paying a lease on space. Mm-hmm. We had no customers. So just picture that one. So you have a lease that's signed for 7 years, paying several thousand dollars a month, and you have no customers. And you're paying labor. You're paying for utilities. You're paying for business licenses, employee wages, you know, making sure that you have all the furniture and furnishings and supplies and equipment all there. And so that's all expense. So some of it's capital, some of it's operating, but there's no revenue coming in. So you do have a certain amount of time before that's going to run out. You're just going to run out of cash, you know?
And some people refer to it as your runway. Like, think of a plane taking off. Like, okay, at some point you're either going or you're not. There's a line, and you got to think about that line in advance. Like, okay, like I mentioned earlier, talk to your spouse.
We don't see X.
I'm giving
by
it six
y.
months. I'm giving it 9 months. We did that with this with CEO Bros. We said, here's how long we're going to give it. Here's the milestones we want to see along the way.
Can you give any more detail other than you've got to think about it? Is it pen and paper? Do you get an account?
Are you talking about in general? Or are you talking about this? What are you talking about? Are you talking about
runway? How to figure out your in general? Because it's one of those you've got to think about it, and then the entrepreneur is going, okay, so, I'm thinking about it, but what do I do? I still don't know how long to make my runway.
So this is a great question for another reason. Just a little side route here. Thinking about it and actually committing to it are two different things. Like, because a lot of, you know, founders are on their own. They're in their own head. You know, they're like, yeah, I'm going to give it 6 months. But that's like somehow you got to make a commitment, whether it's to your spouse or to your business partner or something. Because if you don't, you always wind up fudging things. And like, well, I didn't anticipate this. I'll make it 9 months. I didn't anticipate this. I'll make it 12 months. Before you know it, you're so deep in a hole, you can't get out and you're panicking. So it's just kind of, you know, it's like anything else you're trying to change or do in your life. You know, they tell you to write it down, put it on the mirror, tell people that you're committing to doing this. That's pretty scary.
I will lose 10 pounds.
Right.
I will lose 10 pounds.
I am going to drink the rest of this. I will.
Good commitment.
There we go. Come on, you can do it. I can't.
I'm out. Bankrupt. I'm out.
But you, that's a big part of the runway is, yeah, I can think about it, but I really got to commit to it in my head. And you know, I'm not a big believer in the, you have to write it down. You have to tell other people. I feel like I have the willpower to make a commitment to myself, but I know a lot of people don't. And to me, it's key. Figure it out. Like, okay, here's my personal expenses. Here's the business expenses. Here's cushion in case something happens that was unanticipated. And then at the end, like kill it. There's nothing worse than being dragged into a, you know,
I can relate
an experience. Like, get out and start a new business.
I can relate an experience where, so we started a company called GN Enterprises, and GN Enterprises was going, the whole concept was we were going to executive produce this comedy troupe. It was a 3-man comedy troupe. Matt knows it well. Matt actually played with these guys for a while. And the comedy troupe had big success in touring their show, and they had big success with releasing their first DVD. They actually sold over 1 million copies, and they had written several more shows after it. So I said, well, why didn't you guys make DVD 2, 3, 4? Well, the company we work with didn't go ahead with that one for whatever reason. I'm like, well, I'll do that DVD. Let's do that DVD. And then what we'll do is we'll back your show in certain cities, in the cities that you've done the best at, and we'll sell all your DVDs there.
At the shows.
We'll back your show. We'll sell DVDs. And at the end of the day, I ultimately saw that they would have a stay in Vegas, that that's where we'd ultimately get them to, that like they would be a residence in Vegas, and that they would have a shop selling goods, and the DVD would be one of several DVDs that would be released. And that was the end game. That's where we were going to go. And so we had set X money aside for this venture. And they were going to do Chicago, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and London in that order. And we started with Chicago because Chicago was the home city. It's where we were based. This was great. Well, Chicago was supposed to generate X thousands of dollars of profitability per week for 8 weeks. And after 4 weeks, it was losing $20,000 a week for 4 weeks. And it was literally shooting straight downhill. And the reason is, they just didn't get, we just did not draw the advertising, the publicity, everything we wanted for them at that. And, but we panicked very quickly. Like, we are losing money hand over fist. Forget about DVD sales. Can't get people in the theaters. People aren't coming to see the show. And now you start thinking out and you're going, we still are committed to these three other cities for 12 week runs. And we're losing this much money in our home city. Well, luckily, San Francisco wound up being break even. Mm-hmm. Washington, D.C. wound up making money, and London made money. But the reality was that Chicago was so scary. In fact, we actually said if it had been reversed and Chicago was at the end, we probably would have done some things differently that would have made us more successful. But Chicago was going so bad, and the money that we had set aside to do this project was running out so quickly, we had to cut it off. We actually had to pay the penalties with the theater and say, we're not going to be able to make this for another 4 weeks at this theater. So we're going to cancel our contract early. We're going to pay the penalty fee, which we didn't ever envision having to pay it. But we got to shut this valve off. So to your point earlier, Matt, it's like, well, you know, when do you know? It's like, well, we knew that on the pace we were going to hit that. We have $0 left. So we called it off. And it was actually a really big decision to say, do we even go forward with San Francisco, or do we want to even risk this? Do we just shut it down now?
Completely.
Thinking, and we said,
pay
no,
all
no.
the penalties, pay,
pay all
it.
The penalties, just pay it out. Just pay us out and say, we're done.
Right.
And we just said, no. These guys have got a track history of being successful in these cities. And we did. And luckily we did, because it wound up making money for that. But to your earlier point.
Well, it's such a great story, and I don't want to veer too much off the misconceptions, because you brought up and you brought it home is calling it and saying, we got to stop it now. As an entrepreneur, you have it in you that, hey, you may fail two or three businesses before you get the right one. And so if something's not working, you can say, it's not working. I'm going to take my losses and I'm going to fight the fight. Could be a completely different business the next day. Failure is a part of being an entrepreneur.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. I think most entrepreneurs will tell you they've failed multiple times. It's part of the
So calling it early is not a bad thing. Sometimes saying we got to make that decision, you have to think not only the future of the company, but a future of you maybe starting another business.
Yeah, what's the expression?
Well, you hear all the line that Michael Jordan always says, how many shots did I miss before I made? I mean, he talks about all the shots he missed, all the games that he lost, everything. He says it made him better because he knew what he had to work on to become that much better. It's the same thing with business. So if you're out there and you're worried, like, I may fail, it's okay if you fail. In fact, I've failed in multiple businesses, but I think it made me that much stronger in the businesses that have now have thrived and have done really well. Cause I learned I can't do that again. You won't do that. Don't try that. Don't. One of the other misconceptions is never jump into anything half-ass. I'm just telling you, it just doesn't work. Meaning, I think I want to do this just a little bit. I'm not going to put all my resources. I'm only going to put a couple resources into it. I'm not going to sign this or that. I'm just going to try this a little bit. It's like, that doesn't work. You've got to commit to it. We always talk all in, right? Don't go in anything half-ass. You got to go in all in. So if you're going to do something, commit to what you're going to do and then do it. And to your point, call it off early if you feel like it's not going to work, but to just trial things a little bit here and there. It's hard to get to gauge full blown success on that when you're giving 100%.
I resonate so much with that because, as you know, as a performer, we talk about all the time. And I had a life event, and I don't perform anymore. And people ask me all the time, "Why aren't you performing?" Because I have children to raise. I have things to do. I couldn't go into it just doing one show or half-assed. If I couldn't give my full craft to it, what was the point? If it was a good community show, and people, a lot of people still don't get that. Like, I don't see how you could just give it up. I'm like, you can't do acting just, well, maybe I'll do one show on the weekend. You're not gonna make money.
Yeah, you're being realistic. I mean, there's an expression, you know, hopium is not a strategy. everybody's an entrepreneur is optimistic and, you know, looks on the bright side of things. But the successful ones are the ones who know, hey, this didn't work out. They may not even know the reason. They may disagree with the reasons or whatever, but can cut the losses, come back later, try it a different way. That's why it's always good to get, I always tell people, like, you know, run your business past an objective third party, whether it's an investor or somebody who's just not even involved at all, because they'll tell you the brutal truth. And
like, you're not thinking that through.
Yeah. In the worst case, you can either be aware of those things and consider them, but there's nothing worse than, you know, just plow, you know, it's all product, all store. I'm just going to do this. There's no way it can't be successful. I've heard so many entrepreneurs say, you know, this is going to be successful. This is the greatest thing ever. People are going to want to invest in this. And I'm like, people have choices.
Yeah.
Like, especially when it comes to money, they have other places to put their money. That's what you're competing with. This may be great. You may see the future. You may understand the road to get there.
Cotton candy has already been invented. Right. You shouldn't open a cotton candy.
No, it's candy cotton, though. It's the candy is in the cotton.
Yeah.
I think the, you know, the third thing that entrepreneurs may miss going in because they're so focused and running is you tend to think about your business, your product, your store, your service, whatever it is, 99% of the time. But in reality, once you get started, about 50%, at least 50% of what you deal with is outside stuff, outside noise, interference, distractions, more issues. Well, think about, you know, the guy who opens a brand new restaurant on main thoroughfare through town. And 2 weeks after they...
Thoroughfare.
That's a word.
That's great. All right. This is very fancy.
Is it with the ipsy tipsy? Yeah.
Are you watching Downton Abbey later? Is that...
Wow. Oh, okay. That's being pretty critical.
Thoroughfare. I like that word.
Okay. So it's a street. Main street. Yeah. They open it. Big grand opening.
A lane.
Things are going great. And then all of a sudden the village decides that they're redoing the street and they shut it down and there's no parking or, you know, traffic gets rerouted or things like that. Permits don't get done. Zones don't get approved. A competitor opens across the street or... That's what you actually wind, because, you know, in the military, they say no plan survives contact with the enemy. You know, as soon as you hit the beach, everything changes and you've got to be prepared. And I don't think a lot of people prepare for the external crap.
Or the fact that you have to pivot. I mean,
you're going to have to
pivot. It doesn't mean that you're going to veer off and not do your business plan. But your business plan is going to go in a roundabout way. And there's things that you're going to have to consider that are externally driven that you weren't prepared for. And some people are like, oh no, oh, woe is me. It's like, you got to deal with it. It's like, that's like part of it of opening a business. And so I think, you know, the point what Brian's bringing is that you get in, all of a sudden these things start happening and you fold up like a tent. Amber, from an earlier episode. Oh, no. But you either fold up or you just say, okay, well, I got to pivot and I got to figure out now how to overcome this hurdle. And that happens. Like we talked how many episodes ago, 20 episodes ago we talked about disasters. We talked about things that just derail you, just veer you off course. And you're like, okay, wait, we're still doing this. But I got to deal with this and I got to figure out how to get around it. You have to. You don't have the luxury of saying, I'll just let it play out or I'm not going to deal with that.
So I need some clarification. Is this a mental prepare or a financial prepare? Are you saying prepare that it may happen, right? Like get ready, like mentally plow through it? Or are you saying put some money aside because you don't know what's going to happen?
I think it's both. Definitely put money aside. When you build your plan, like you can't just be like, you know, hey, we're just going to make it. Like, you know, you need 3 months living. Everybody always
goes. Well, people always talk about contingency, having money for contingency.
So that's a budget.
Set aside for contingency.
That would be an actual budget.
The mental side is you're not going to have 100% of your time to execute your plan. And one of the big ones I see nowadays is losing employees. When you do your plan, you're like, okay, I'm going to hire somebody to do customer service. I'm going to hire somebody to do sales. I'm going to hire somebody to do accounting. And we're going to go. And then 3 months later, your customer service person leaves.
Your sales manager
then
quits.
Who's doing customer service?
Then now what happens? You know? You better pivot. You got to figure it out. You can't just be like, well, we're done. I mean, like, you got to find somebody who can do sales. And if they can't, you're doing sales. Right. Or somebody's, you got to figure it out.
We're looking lately, you know, say you're selling a product from another country and now you get hit with a 25, 40% tariff. Okay. You can't prepare for all these individual, you know, circumstances, but mentally realize you're not going to be able to just do your plan. Like, I've always heard this about, presidents of the United States, they always come in with, even just politicians in general, they go into office with a plan. I'm going to fix education. I'm going to fix healthcare. I'm going to fix this. And then the world interrupts because there's wars and there's terrorism and there's, you know, economic issues. And they all say, you know, by the time you get through your 4 years, you're lucky if you got one thing done on your list. It's the same with business. Like, all your grand plans that you think you're going to finish in 3 to 6 months, they're not going to happen. You got to be agile. You got to be nimble. He's like, to Brad's point, you stick, you know, you do it where you can and you stick to it, but you're going to have to deal with other things.
I think of athletes too. Like, you've got all your plans and all of a sudden you're in the game and there goes your Achilles. And then you're out for a year.
Well, think about JJ McCarthy. I thought Minnesota Vikings quarterback gets drafted early. Was he first round or second round? He gets drafted. He thinks he's going to be the starting quarterback for the Vikings, and he goes down with an Achilles torn, right? So he's out for the year, or whatever that was, the injury for a year. Sure, that wasn't part of his plan.
Or the coach's plan. I mean, think about the poor coach who's built his whole offense around this new quarterback, and now it's like, okay, now what are we going to do?
Yeah, I think that's Matt, the point with the athlete is a great analogy for businesses. That happens all the time, every day, every week, every month. Something's happening, we're like, okay, I didn't, you know, that's when your people say, I need a stiff drink. I can't believe that just happened, you know.
Well, here's, use the sports analogy. Look at what the Bears did not too long ago with Tyson Bagent. They paid their backup quarterback $10 million. His contract wasn't even up, but they realized how important a contingency plan is, and he fits in with their offense. Like, hey, something could happen to Caleb Williams. Like,
Yeah, we have backup. So, yeah, I think those are some of the things I can think about when we talk about the psychology of starting a business, getting underway. And I can think about, like, and look, I could, you know, I'm sure we can go on and on with this, but I think there are a few that people should consider: money, time, and then the external influences that are going to occur where, to Brian's point, you're not going to be able to think about your business 100% of the time. In fact, a big portion of the time is going to be pulled in other directions, and it's your job to try and pull it back, get back on the rails and get back where you're supposed to be heading. But, you know, God help you if you think that you're going to be on a straight line the whole way through, because that ain't going to happen. You know,
so what pitfalls are you worried about? Send us an email, leave a message on YouTube, and hit that subscribe button, which is free. It is free to subscribe. It just means that you get content automatically downloaded.
And patronize our good fellows at Absolute Citron.
And I am going to complete my goal of finishing the beer. But
you didn't finish it yet?
I didn't say I was going to finish it before the episode was over.
Our good friends at New Glarus Brewing Company, they have multiple beers, but Spotted Cow is our favorite. America runs on Spotted Cow.
Or at least the Dairyland runs on Spotted Cow.
Exactly.
Cheers.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Enjoy your weekend, everyone.
Thanks for watching.
Later.